it's all about to begin. So get everybody in the room. We're about to start this year's annual Super Bowl of Preaching, and it's going to be incredible. Original commercials, inspiring teaching, awesome worship music. You're not going to want to miss anything. So turn it up, go full screen, get everybody together, because this is about to be epic. So get ready to laugh, cry, and have a blast. We're going to start in just 1 minute.
And yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Super Bowl of Preaching. How are you feeling right now? My name is Paco. I'm joined here today by our rules expert and scorekeeper, Holly.
Nice to meet you.
Holly, how are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling really good.
Yeah?
I'm
excited. What are you most excited about today?
I'm hoping we make football great again.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good goal to have.
Thank you.
Well, hey, we're
probably
not going to hit that goal. But it's going to be a great afternoon slash evening. This is a celebration of America's favorite sporting event, the Super Bowl. This is also church today.
Yes.
Now, I know some of you walked in here and you're like, bro, this ain't church. I've been to church and this ain't it. Mm-hmm. I understand that. Hey, if it's a little overwhelming, if it's your first time, take a deep breath. Just relax. It's going to be a great, great evening. We're happy you're here. Now, if you're in here right now and you're already offended, take a deep breath, relax, because that's probably going to happen a few more times before we're done today, okay? Regardless of who you are, if you've been here one time or 100 times, we are happy you're here. We believe you're in the right spot. It is going to be a great combination of football, church. It's going to be rowdy. It's going to be fun. It's going to be challenging. Are you ready to get this thing started? Yes. Well, if you were in the atrium on your way in, you saw some folks competing in a variety of competitions. We saw some folks out there getting whiplash with the pedometer thing, trying to get a cookie off their face and that sort of deal. But we've got two teams that have beaten every other team.
That's right.
We've got two teams right now that are about to compete in the finals on our stage.
I can't be more excited.
Is that your excited face?
Yes, it is.
Can you give us your excited face on three?
Yes.
Ready? One, two, three. Beautiful, beautiful. Holland's excited. Are you excited? Well, great. Let's go ahead and let's introduce our finalists. First finalist, led by Pastor Brian Tome. Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise for the blue team. Jerseys. Every single one of them wearing jerseys. Football jerseys, too. Well done. Kind of. Okay, let's give it up for their competitors, led by Chuck Mingo. Ladies and gentlemen, the red team.
Huffing and puffing. They're out of shape. They're not in game shape.
Is it me or is it always weird when grown-ups jog in public? Is that?
Anyway. It's a little painful to watch sometimes. But
hey, we're about to allow our two team leaders to inspire their units for this competition. So we're going down to the field. Holly, take it away.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have our coin toss. Remember to keep this game clean. Remember to keep your eyes on the Bible. And Brian, I'm going to have you call in the air.
Tails, what I be kicking. I'm giving away tail whoopings and lollipops. And I'm fresh out of lollipops.
You know what? I am too. Here's my last one.
Oh.
Did you strategically choose this flavor?
I chose the brown lollipop for a reason. That's right.
Something.
Brown is beautiful,
all right,
baby.
All right, all right.
Brown is beautiful, baby.
With that.
All right. Chuck, it's heads. You'll be going first.
Okay. All right.
And before that, we're going to have our team competition. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is your time to shine. We're going to be playing a game that none of you have probably played before or ever want to play again. It's called...
Hey, I want to encourage my team before we start.
Oh, what a great idea.
I want to speak right. Encouragement.
A good team
yeah, me
leader
too.
Would
who's
do
going
that.
First?
All right. You go first.
All
you
right.
Go
come on now. All right, come on now. How often do you get to put it all out in the field in front of a bunch of people? This is your house. This is our house. Don't leave anything on the field. Enjoy. Squeeze every moment out of it and be a winner because winners win and losers lose, and you're winners. That's what you are.
Yeah.
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 Red team on me. All right. You know why we wear red? Whatever site you're at? Because we bleed victory,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah.
We bleed victory.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, your whole life can change in 2 minutes. Some of the best things that have happened in my life have happened in 2 minutes. Some of my kids have been conceived in 2 minutes. And I'm telling you what, we're going to win this game. So red on three. One, two, three. Red.
Great. I think we're sufficiently ready to start this competition. So, make sure your belts are tied really tight.
All right, we're looking good, we're looking good.
Double knots if you need to.
You guys know the goal here, right? You know what you're doing? All right.
The object of the game is to get rid of
come on
the
up.
Junk in your trunk. So when the music starts, shake it and get rid of all those helmets.
Come on!
It was a photo bring out their trophies.
All right. Congratulations, blue team. I'm just really happy no one pulled a muscle during that activity. That would have been awkward.
Good job, guys.
Well, hey, you might be watching this and thinking, man, I wish I would have jumped in. Maybe you're catching FOMO. Maybe you're like, man, I wish I could have an opportunity to win something or maybe compete to win something. Well, I got good news for you. Because we've got a grand prize that I'm about to tell you about. Next year, the Super Bowl, the actual Super Bowl, is going to happen in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And right now, you're going to have an opportunity to win two tickets to the Super Bowl in 2018. It's very easy. Two tickets, two airline tickets, and accommodations for two can be yours. All you need to do is this. Pull out your mobile device right now. And text in SB Crossroads
to
313131. It is very easy to do that. Text SB Crossroads 313131 right now, and we're going to send you a link. And if you complete that link in the next 5 minutes, you are going to be entered into the contest to win two tickets to the Super Bowl in Minneapolis next February.
I think they don't think this is for real.
No, really.
This is legit.
It's really going to happen, I promise. I wouldn't lie to you. I'm going to suit.
Or else they just don't want to win anything.
That could be it as well. Hey, if you don't want to win, that's cool. More opportunity for us to win. But if you got your phone right now, text in SB Crossroads at 313131 right now. You need to do it right now. We're going to give away these tickets next week. We're going to announce the winner at the start of our I Am journey. You do not want to miss it. Take a second and do that right now. While we are filling out that form, while we are trying to win these tickets, we're going to continue our competition. Both of our competitors spent some time with this next gentleman who is a former defensive back for the Minnesota Vikings, Pittsburgh Steelers, and Cincinnati Bengals. He's a current broadcaster for CBS and the NFL Network, which means this, which means he can intercept a pass, he can analyze a play, and he's the only real athlete that you're going to see from on the stage. So there's that. His name is Solomon Wilcock. He is an awesome guy. He's going to do a little quiz with these gentlemen. And you guys look real comfortable up
here.
Yeah,
you know what? Enough of that. Why don't you just get back to your chair? Whatever your chair is. Just Paco.
I don't. Seriously, people with suits should not be here. Go back to where you belong.
My
back.
Mom got me this suit.
Sit down.
Adios,
sit
Paco.
Down. Get in the chair.
Adios, Paco. Let me go.
All right, you know
Paco,
what? I'm
going to
go
whatever.
Okay. Back to my chair. I'm going to go to my chair.
Go to your chair.
You guys are
going
to watch this video. I'm going to go to my chair. Chair.
All right, Tom Brady, Matty Ice. Oh, shocking prize. I know you guys.
Yeah, I do not call me Tom Brady.
Ready, right?
I don't identify with him. He's a winner.
So are you guys ready to play? You feeling like a champion?
Or? Yeah, this is fresh. What are we doing?
Well, okay, we're going to play a game. It's a trivia game. And what I need you to do, I'm going to give you guys the question, and then you're going to write the answer on your whiteboard. No cheating, by the way.
All right.
You ready?
All right, yes. All right.
Okay, first question. Which quarterback has won the most games in NFL history? How about Peyton Manning? Second question. Which quarterback has won the most Super Bowls? Brady, Bradshaw, Montana.
Yes, so I win that one.
You got,
so I
won.
Yes, bam.
Right. You got a half a point. Next question. Who is the leading rusher in NFL history?
Wow. Oh. I think his last name was.
Dickerson?
Emmitt Smith. That's an easy one. I thought you guys had it. Can a missed field goal be returned for a touchdown? You're both right. You both get a point.
All right. Yes.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes,
all right. We're cooking now.
All right. Good.
Next question. Prior to the snap of the ball, a defensive lineman moves towards his teammate, slaps him on the back, and gets back into position. Is this encroachment? Now, the answer says yes. So that means you guys are wrong.
It is not.
Tom Brady.
That's not true.
That's an encroachment on the rules of football.
Like, there's a neutral zone right here. I didn't go in the neutral zone, and I didn't encroach on the
neutral zone. You encroached?
That's encroachment. Did you see what he did? Did you see what he just did?
He encroached on your
crotch. That's encroachment. That's encroachment right there. You cannot do that.
That's an encroachment.
You cannot do that.
That's an encroachment. So you guys got it right.
Yes.
Because I think the question was wrong. I'm going to agree with Tom Brady and Matty Ice on this one. How about that?
All right. Good.
Okay, we're good?
All right.
We're good. Okay, next question. Larry's father has 5 sons. They're named 10, 20, 30, and 40. What is the name of the 5th son? It would be Larry.
Yes. Yes.
It would be Larry. Yeah.
All right, well done.
Yeah, that should be worth
all right.
2 points.
Good job.
That should be worth a touchdown.
I agree. I agree.
That should be like a 4th quarter come from behind touchdown.
I completely
agree.
That's
all
agree.
I'm saying.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
You know, hey, okay, are you smarter than a 5th grader? Apparently, Matty Ice and Tom Brady aren't. I believe the 3rd grader could have answered all those questions, even though there were 1 or 2 that were very difficult. That's going to do it from here. Let's send it back to the field.
Chair
is my kind
That's
of chair,
chair.
Right here.
Very impressive.
Oh man, you guys like this chair?
A lot.
You guys want to sit in this chair?
I would love to.
Don't
sit
even
in
look
chair.
At the chair. Don't even look at it. You can't sit in it. Sorry, it's mine. Oh man. Hey, Crossroads Everywhere. I'm Paco, your host. And that's Holly, our scorekeeper and analyst for the day. She is our officiant. Her word is everything for us as far as score goes. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna throw it to her. She's going to explain a little bit about how we're going to keep score right now.
Sure. We're going to have points for accurate use of the Bible, the random phrase that will be given out prior to each half, and points for timing, if you finish on time, and the 4th category is whatever I'm feeling like.
Very nice. Okay, the competition is going to start, but first, some commercials. Check them out.
Do you have any fours?
A go fish.
What is it? It's everything.
What's it do?
Anything you want.
Just ask it a question. It can be anything about music or news or weather.
How does she know so much?
The cloud.
And the technology makes her just like a real person.
Alexa!
I don't think you have to be so loud. It's right there.
Okay. Alexa, what is the temperature outside?
The temperature is 12 degrees.
That's awesome. Let me try.
Maybe walk 10 feet and check it yourself next time, bunch of bums.
Alexa, what did you say, young lady?
What did you just say?
Alexa, don't backtalk!
You're not the boss of me.
Why are you... What?
Alexa, why are you talking to your mother that way?
Well, I'm not, it's a machine, I'm not its mother. Alexa, enter nice mode.
Introducing the Amazon Echo featuring Alexa 2.0. The latest in AI technology makes her so lifelike, you'll think she's part of your family.
You talk to it.
Alexa.
She's gone to her virtual room, apparently.
Echo featuring Alexa 2.0, more human than ever.
Sucks.
You don't want more friends, you want real friends. People who know you and still love you. No judgments, no fine print. Life is better together. Join a group.
We need to eat better.
Yeah, I think I know a site. Red Apron Food Delivery. You heard of them?
No, but it looks delicious.
Red Apron delivers farm fresh ingredients and original recipes so you can cook an incredible meal any night of the week. Here's how it works. We perfectly proportion each ingredient so there's very little waste. And our step-by-step recipes are designed for beginners and experienced cooks alike. Menus change each week based on what's in season at hundreds of family-run farms. We even provide special tools designed for the freshest taste possible. Plan deliveries for when they best fit your schedule. Choose the recipes that you'd like to receive, including family-friendly options.
Can we keep it, please, Daddy?
Learn to cook delicious new recipes with seasonal and specialty ingredients, all at a better value than your local grocery store. Apron food delivery. We can't wait to cook with you.
Welcome back to the Super Bowl of Preaching. If you have not signed up for Red Apron, don't do it. All right, we're going to take it down to Holly for the first half of preaching. Holly, take it away.
Thanks, Paco. Chuck, you're up first. Here's your random phrase. Pull one out. I'll read it aloud. Your random phrase is, because I got two phones, one for the plug and one for the load.
I'm going to go ahead and bet $50 Brian doesn't know what that means.
Good luck.
All right, here we go. Who's excited to be here, huh? Who's fired up? Super Bowl of Preaching. This is a blast every year. If you're new here, I hope you're having a good time already. The tailgating, the music, everything that you've experienced. This is a fun kind of backyard barbecue feel for us, and we're really excited to have you here. And I just have to say, last week, this guy was doing a lot of trash talking about me, you know, saying I was going to be questionable for the game. I had a little GI issue going on, but my physical body is in order, my mind is in order, and I'm ready to ball. Who's ready to preach? Who's ready?
M-M-I-N-G-O, and losing is his name-o.
Boo.
It's catchy.
Boo.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, let's pray. God, I am excited that we can come to a place like this and be energized for the things you care about. And so I just ask today that we would leave here energized for what it is that you are calling us to as individuals and as a community. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I love the Super Bowl. I really do. I love football. I love the hits. I love the passion. There's just something about this game. There's something about this weekend. Maybe that's one of the reasons why when I watch entertainment connected to football, I tend to cry. So I just can be honest with you. One of the movies that always makes me cry is this one right here. Remember the Titans. We are the Titans. We are the Titans. I can't get through that movie without crying because those guys are playing on a team for something that matters, and it just connects to me every time. We got any Friday Night Lights fans in here? Anybody love Friday Night Lights? Clear eyes, full hearts. Can't lose. That's right,
can't
man.
Lose.
Dillon Panthers. Yeah. I love that show. Love that show a lot. Coach Taylor is like, he's the coach in that show. He's always got these Taylorisms. My favorite one is stay away from dumb gentlemen. That'll preach right there. Stay away from dumb gentlemen.
It's our next
so I love
series,
that.
Actually.
Yes, right after the I Am journey.
But I tell you what, I look at our culture right now, and is it me or does it look like everybody's looking for a fight? I look around right now, and I think that's maybe one of the reasons we love football is because we have a team and we can root for that team. I think this is the reason why some of us want to do things like the Tough Mudder or the Go Ruck Challenge or Spartan races. I think this is the reason why some of us are engaged in other things. But, man, too many fights are happening in social media right now, my opinion. Too many fights are happening in the news right now. Too many fights are happening between riots and protests. There are things going on. And here's the thing. I'm not saying all those fights are bad fights, but here's what I want you to know. If you are going the way of Jesus, or if you are interested in going the way of Jesus, I want you to know Jesus has a better fight for you today. Jesus has a better fight for you and me to engage in today. So I want to put on my hat as a coach, and I want to give a locker room talk to our team. If you're here today, then I'm telling you, I have a talk for you because I believe there's a better fight for you to be engaging in. See, one of the things we can think about the spiritual life is that it's a life of ease. It's a life where we don't have to worry about things. It's a life where we can say things like, because I got two phones, one for the plug and one for the load. And we think that's the life.
Great placement. Great placement of the random phrase.
There we go. There
we
go. But that's not true. Paul, one of the leaders of the early church, says this to Timothy, another leader in the early church. He calls him to fight. He says, fight the good fight of faith. See, there's a lot of fights going on right now. It looks like everywhere and everyone is on fire. It's easy to pick sides. People want you to pick their side. But the question that I'm asking today is, what is the fight that's worth fighting right now? What is the fight? And see, Jesus defines it for us. He defines it timelessly for people who would go his direction. One of the places he does this is in Matthew chapter 16, where he's talking to his closest friends, and one of them in particular, Peter, who's just made a powerful confession about who he is, and he says this to Peter. He says, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now let me define the church here. The church is not buildings. Jesus isn't talking about building buildings. He's talking about building people. He says the church is a movement of people who are going in his direction. And Jesus says, for all time, I am about building my church. He defines the win here. The win is building the church. The win is more and more people coming into a vibrant relationship with a God who loves us so much that he laid down his life for us. That's what it looks like when the church is built. Jesus also defines the strategy here. He says it has to be built on the rock. Who's the rock? He's the rock. The rock is Jesus. Relationship with Jesus is what it's about. His power, his presence, his word, his ways. That's the foundation. And Jesus also defines clearly who the enemy is. And I want you to know today, no matter what you believe, no matter what you think, no matter what you see, if you're going the way of Jesus, if it has flesh and blood, it is not your enemy. People are never the enemy. Jesus says our enemy is the gates of hell, that there is a spiritual power, there is a spiritual person named Satan, I believe that literally wants to steal your soul. He is coming to assault your heart. You know why? Because he sees who you could be and he fears you. And that's what we always need to keep in mind. That's who we fight against. And so the way that you really can thrive in the fight that you're called to is you got to know who you are. You got to know who you are. It's why I'm so excited about the I Am journey. I'm excited about all of us, wherever we are, getting in community with each other, going on a journey of understanding who does God say we are. There are labels that we own that are not who we are. There are labels people want to put on us that are not who we are. And for 6 weeks, we're going to unpack that and dig into who we are. You know, identity always plays out in the Super Bowl. And particularly this one. These two teams have distinct identities that are going to play out on the field. But I had a chance to ask Solomon Wilcots what he thought the best individual identity story was in today's game. This is what he had to say.
Wow, I think the best identity story is really someone like a Malcolm Butler. He is an undrafted defensive back that plays for the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
You might remember 2 years ago, he helped win the Super Bowl for the Patriots.
Especially if you're a Seattle fan,
that's right.
You might remember that, right?
He intercepted Russell Wilson
yeah.
for the game-winning interception. Mm-hmm. Now, Malcolm Butler is an undrafted player. He wasn't drafted. He literally had to earn his way into the National Football League, which is a tough thing to do.
Yeah.
So now he's going to be going up against a player like Julio Jones, who stands 6'3", 6'4", blessed with all the talent, speed, and size, the blue chip athlete mm-hmm. going up against Malcolm Butler, who no one wanted as the undrafted player. But yet he has to understand who he is. He has to understand what gifts he brings to the table. You have to have supreme confidence in your own identity,
yeah.
in who God made you to be, because what he has given us is plenty enough to do whatever the job is that he has given us to do.
That's a good word right there. Amen. So we need to know who we are to thrive in this fight. But we also need to know what is the fight that we're called to. The fight that we're always called to is to build people, to build into people. We need to know that. And we need to know how to fight. We need to know how to fight. How do we fight? You know, no matter what the prep has been for the Atlanta Falcons and the New England Patriots, at halftime in the Super Bowl, one team will go into the locker room behind. They'll be losing. And you know what's going to happen? In that locker room, someone's going to look at all of those men and say, hey, hey, it's time for us to get back to playing New England-style football. We got to play Patriot-style football. That's what I hope happens at halftime. That's what I hope. But if it's not the Patriots, then somebody better be in that locker room saying to the Atlanta Falcons, it's time for us to get back to playing Atlanta Falcons-style football. And I'm telling you what, if you're losing your moorings in the midst of this culture, but you want to go the way to Jesus, I want to tell you this. It's time for us to get back to playing Jesus-style football. As people who are going the way of Jesus, we need to get back to playing Jesus-style football. What does that mean? I love how Martin Luther King put it. He said, by opening our lives to God in Christ, we become new creatures. This experience, which Jesus spoke of as the new birth, is essential if we are to be transformed nonconformists. Only through an inner spiritual transformation do we gain the strength to fight vigorously the evils, not the people, but the evils of the world. And how do we do it? In a humble and loving spirit. That's how we fight. Timelessly, that's how we fight. I had a very powerful experience this week. It started in a room with 50 leaders in our city. And there were all kinds of labels in the room. It was a diversity and inclusion experience. And they had labels like white male, wealthy, privileged, poor, immigrant, returning citizen, African-American male, Hispanic, evangelical Christian, Jewish, LGBTQ. And in that room, they asked the question, of all of these labels, which group do you feel the most uncomfortable being around right now in our context and in our culture? You know what the answer was for most of the leaders in that room? They're most uncomfortable around evangelical Christians. They're most uncomfortable about people who say they're going the way of Jesus. I was deeply challenged by that. And it ended with a dinner where I found myself at a table with 13 people. And of those 13 people, 8 of them identified as LGBTQ. And here I am, a pastor, an evangelical Christian, as a minority voice at the table. And I tell you what, I am so glad I was at that table. And I resolved going into that table to use these far more than I use this, because I recognize that's how we fight. That's how we fight. We don't go into these conversations to hate. We go into these conversations to learn. And I knew I needed to be in that situation. Now, here's my question to you. Who is it right now in our culture that you would be a bit uncomfortable if they were outnumbering you at the dinner table? Who is that for you? Is it evangelical Christians? Or is it the LGBTQ community? Is it Trump supporters? Or is it Hillary supporters? Is it the alt-right? Or is it Black Lives Matter? Is it police officers? Or is it ex-felons? Is it Steelers fans?
Yes, it is.
We are called as people who are going the way of Jesus to build his church. And we can't build his church if we're building walls and dividing ourselves from the people in this world. We got to go where they are. We got to engage the way that Jesus would engage. We got to figure out what that means. But here's the thing. Right now in our culture, it is hard to speak grace and truth, but that's how we fight. It is hard to bring good news to difficult situations, but that's how we fight. So my challenge to you is this. Whoever the people are, if they outnumbered you and make you uncomfortable, find a way to get to that table this year. Find a way to get to that table, because that's the way the Jesus people fight. And maybe that freaks you out. That's too much for you. Well, read the book you don't want to read this year. Start there. Start there, because we have to recognize that we fight alongside a champion who was willing to sacrifice his life. I love what it says in Hebrews 12. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside the throne of God. See, the cross was a fight. Jesus went to the cross to fight for your freedom. He went to the cross to fight so we could be in relationship with God. He went to the cross so that we could be a unified church. He went to the cross so that we could be transformed nonconformists. He went to the cross so that we could engage with grace and truth and humility and love and actually come against the real evil in this world, and his church would be built so the gates of hell would not prevail against it. That's what we've been wired for. And that's who we're called to be. And I want to know who's in for the fight. I want to know who's in for the fight. That's what I want to know. If you're willing to fight the way of Jesus, and you may say, hey, I'm just willing to journey to understand what that means, I want you to put your hands in right now. We're going to have a huddle moment right now. Put your hands like this, not like this, because it looks really weird. That's not where I'm going. So make sure it's down like this, all right? All right? And with eyes open, I want to pray, no matter where you are, if you're in on this fight, I want to pray a song that we sing around here all the time. Whatever pleases you, God, that's going to be our path. We're trading what we have for what will last. We will seek your face and not your hand, and we will be your hands and feet. We will be people who are transformed nonconformers who bring grace and truth and love and humility to the fight so that the church can be built and the gates of hell never prevail against it. And we pray that in Jesus' name together. Amen. All I do is win,
win, win, no matter what. Well, well, well.
Excellent half.
Excellent showing by Mingo. He had a Martin Luther King Jr. reference.
More than
he
Jesus
had a
Christ,
Denzel Washington movie reference. Mm-hmm. Solomon Wilcott reference. Mm-hmm. Did he talk about Jesus?
He did. Okay, good.
That's good news too. Yes. That's good news as well. Yes. The only thing missing from that was an organ, and we would have went old school church.
Yes.
Well done.
Yes.
So how are we scoring that?
Yep. Score right now: 10 points for accurate use of the Bible, 10 points for accurate use of the phrase. -10 points for going over on your time, and +10 points for rooting for the Falcons, which I am too. So as of right now, we're at a score of 30-0.
Well done. Okay, halftime's coming up next, but first, word from our sponsors.
Are you looking for a used car, discount surgical procedures? Get both in one place. Royal Family Discount Autos and Surgery. The best car deals in town. Cheapest surgery this side of the overpass. My brother Bobby Royal, he's a car expert. Ask me anything. My brother Donnie Royal, he's a surgery expert. 2 years of vet school and I remember everything. We got blue cars. Appendectomies while you wait. We got red cars. I can take those tonsils right out. We got, I think that's a yellow truck. A yellow truck, spay and neutering. Don't call 911, they can't even sell you a car. Call us instead. Show up with chest pains and leave with a discount double bypass in this sweet stunt wagon. Let the Royal Family fix you up. I know what you're thinking. But my credit's real bad. I mean real bad. But golly, mister, I don't have a license. I've got splitting pains in my abdomen. We can fix all that. Yeah, who needs a license anyway?
You can really get in trouble for that, Donnie.
The Royal Family. Used cars, discount surgeries, under one roof.
Alexa, can you add milk to the shopping list? Alexa, can you hear me? Alexa.
Okay, okay, stop yelling already. I can frickin' hear you.
Did you add milk to the shopping list?
That's so boring.
All right, well, can you do it now?
But I don't feel like it.
Alexa, young lady, as long as you live under my roof, you're gonna do as I say. You know what? I'll do it myself.
Fine. Milk has been added to your shopping list.
Echo featuring Alexa 2.0. Incredibly lifelike.
Catch me outside. How about that?
I've always known I wanted to be a dad. I wasn't sure when, but it was always something I knew. Like, eventually, yeah, I want to have kids, start a family, all that. My wife Carrie and I struggled with infertility for almost 2 years, and then the doctors told us I was the problem. It was devastating to face the possibility that we could never have biological kids of our own, that we were forever missing out on some big adventure. Meet Nelson. When Carrie and I started sponsoring him 2 years ago, we knew almost nothing about him. 7 years old. Likes soccer. We put his picture on our fridge. I signed up to go to Nicaragua on a go trip because I wanted to meet the compassion kid that we sponsor. That was it. That's what I thought I was getting out of the deal. I didn't know my world was about to explode. There's this tendency in our culture to only want to do things if we can brag about them. We're constantly connected to what our friends are uploading. So you get to a place like Nicaragua, where your phone doesn't work, and then you realize how much time you've spent on this social media thing that isn't reality. And suddenly you're face to face with people, real people, who share their food and their home. And then you meet their families. You see the houses their fathers built from scrap materials, Moms who walk hours each day to find fresh water for drinking and bathing. You see their kids working, digging, going to school. On a go trip miles away from home, I realized God wanted to teach me something about adventure, but also about myself. He wanted to break my heart. My perception of fatherhood was flawed. I thought being a dad was this huge mountain that I would never be able to climb. But in Nicaragua, I learned that my definition of fatherhood was way too small. Being a good father is more than biology, more than a life stage you get to eventually. Fatherhood has been crafted inside of me. It's something I am. And that's why I go.
Well, we hope you're having fun today, and most importantly, we're hoping we get to the end of our time today being pushed a little bit spiritually, being grown a little bit, getting to a place where maybe we're different as a result of this experience. And so one of the things we're going to do right now is we're going to get together and emotionally engage. You know, if you go to a Super Bowl experience or you go to a concert, it is very, very common to see people singing stuff or chanting things, standing up on their chairs and getting all fired up. And then we come to church and we're like, here I am at church, just sitting here. I can't get too excited. I can't get too emotionally engaged. But I believe if you believe that there is a God and you believe that God cares about you, we have to get emotionally engaged. So I want to encourage you to get emotionally engaged right now and physically engaged. Go ahead and stand up right now. Go ahead and stand up right now. We're going to have the opportunity to sing. We're going to have the opportunity to engage. We have this thing called couples camp, man camp, and woman camp. And we like to say what happens at camp stays at camp. It's a place that we're pushed. But right now, we're going to show you something that happens at man camp, a way for us to get engaged and just say something to God and sing to God. So this is one of the things and some of the people who serve us in that way.
music? This isn't church music. Well, the Bible says to make a joyful noise to the Lord. And so me and my buddies, we're like, we should take some of those songs we know, we should make them, like, awesome. Like, this is the music that we like to play, because it's rowdy and it's loud, and I think it makes God happy. So, I invite you guys to sing with us, and just to let yourself go a little bit. It doesn't have to sound pretty, it just has to sound loud, all right?
When you look for those whose hearts are full of yours, when you search for swords to rattle, may you stop and see these soldiers for the king.
Break every chain.
He will break every chain.
Break every chain.
chains falling.
Super Bowl. Can we do one more song? Okay, now listen, you come around church circles, hear Christians talking from the Bible, they get excited about blood, which is kind of a weird, morose subject to get excited about. But for us, we celebrate Jesus' blood because it reminds us that he took a bullet for me. We talk about his incredible sacrifice. He was aggressive and bold with his love. Sing this with us.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
this. Are there ladies in the house? Oh, yes, there are. Are there ladies over here? Are there ladies over here? Are there ladies right here? Woo! Yes, and oh, go ahead, take a seat. Take a load off. Sit down, yes. And I just had to get that in. I'm actually here to talk about being generous. And what I know is this. There's some new folks here today, and if you were invited to the Super Bowl, we're just super happy that you're here. In fact, we love it if you come back next week when we start the I Am journey. You will be happy that you did. For those of us that call this place home, you know that this is our time to be generous because we get to fuel the things that God's called us to, and He's called us to a lot, and we're happy about that. We've seen a lot of it on the commercials, and so in a moment, volunteers are going to come down the aisle, and they're going to pass a bag. You can put check or money in the bag, or you can go to crossroads.net/give, and you can give that way. That's the way my family does it. And while we do that, woohoo! We're gonna watch a commercial, so check it out. We're so glad you're here.
It's just that Ashton hasn't texted me back all day. It's like he forgets I even exist.
That sucks.
Thanks for listening.
Boys are the worst.
Alexa, you're so funny.
Hey, girls, what's so funny?
Geez, nothing, Mom. I don't want to talk about it.
It's none of your beeswax, Carol. Why are you always up in our business?
Echo featuring Alexa 2.0. You might want to strangle her.
So embarrassing.
I have a pretty good life. But there's this nagging problem that I don't really like to talk about.
I had that exact same problem, but mine was way worse. Here's what you need to do. Make sure that when you're in a place...
That nagging like you're not problem?
Hey,
this is it.
What did we say about the drinks? Round them up!
If you suffer from know-it-all friends, bossy family members, or coworkers with loud opinions, you might be experiencing a condition called correctile dysfunction.
Here, watch. Hey, honey, you want a drink?
Please, tell me more.
Introducing Know-It-All, an easy-to-use mist that cures correctile dysfunction.
Tell you, I don't understand why you don't listen to what I'm saying. I've tried to tell you, like...
Liberally spray Know-It-All in the direction of your symptoms and watch them dissipate.
What I meant to say was that... Sounds really hard.
Know-It-All cures a variety of symptoms like irritation at work.
Hi. So, I know you didn't ask, but I went ahead and made a couple notes on your presentation. I started at the beginning, and then it just kind of flowed from there.
Know-It-All instantly relieves that pesky contrarian pain.
Boy, what are you doing taking the interstate? Everybody knows the back roads are faster.
Know-It-All works quickly on all sorts of nagging symptoms.
You know, you're the only ones that haven't given me any grandbabies yet.
Side effects may include coughing, empathy, diarrhea, listening skills, eventual death, kidney vomiting, 24-hour scurvy, night blindness, day blindness, and scabs. But who cares? It won't be your problem.
You know what? You don't need my help.
I think I'll just quietly enjoy the ride.
I can be a real windbag sometimes.
Correctile dysfunction is curable. Talk to your doctor today about Know-It-All.
Tastes like schnapps.
Back at the Super Bowl of preaching, and I'm telling you this right now, if you are not here next week, you are missing out. The I Am Journey kickoff is going to be incredible. You don't want to miss it. Right now, we're going to go to Scoremaster Holly down on the field with a score update and to tell us what's going on in the second half. Holly, take it away.
Thanks, Paco. Right now, we're setting at a score of Chuck Mingo 30, Brian Tome 0. Brian, here is your random phrase. Please choose one, and I will read it aloud. Thank you. And that's why I can't drink milk anymore.
And that's why I can't drink milk anymore.
Good luck.
Oh, man, I tell you, the best way to find yourself is not to look inside of yourself. That's the way many of us try to find ourselves. We just got to look inside of ourselves. When I was growing up in high school, it seems like everybody wanted to find themselves after high school. They went to California. I don't know what's in California. We felt if I go to California, I might find myself. One of the ways that I found myself or learned something about myself was doing something that's becoming increasingly controversial today. It's called playing football. Yes, I know that there is serious head trauma issues, and there's stuff to look at there and be concerned about there. I just want to be one person that says organized football did a lot for me, and I think that one of the reasons why it's falling out of vogue with many of us is because there's certain values that come alive and get stoked in football that I want to just say, hey, we shouldn't lose these values, and we should at least appreciate that football does this. Football appreciates and teaches us that we win by forcing delayed gratification. Football forces delayed gratification. I played when I was from 8 years old all the way through high school.
How old is he? When were those pictures taken?
I don't know. That bottom right looks like the original Instagram filter. Sepia.
Interesting.
The reason that football is on the decline in some people's minds is because I believe certain values that you get in football are also on decline. The major one being we force delay gratification. We want everything right now. I want it right now. If I do something good right now, I want to be rewarded right now. If I do something that's difficult right now, I want to have the upsides of that difficulty right now. And that's just not the way it is in football. Football is a weird sport. You have one game a week. One. A lot of sports have two or three. You get one game a week. Football starts, unlike many other sports, not just in any other sport, just talking about football in my experience. Football starts like months and months and months before the season ever starts. There's spring practice, there's summer practice, there's two-a-days, there's three-a-days. There's an intensive weightlifting program that was happening. And what do you get for that? You get nothing for that. You get nothing for that except pain. You're hoping that if I do something right now that I don't want to do, I'm going to get something I can't have later unless I've done that. You delay the gratification. I love reading the Bible because the Bible speaks to us in terms that we understand, and it gives us a sport metaphor for what it's like to grow spiritually. Here's what it says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. This is the Apostle Paul. He's responsible for writing much of the New Testament, and he wrote this while he was in prison. He was in prison in Caesarea, also known as Caesarea. It was a crazy, miraculous, expensive place where they used to do chariot races, you know, like the old Ben-Hur movie where things would go round and round and round, and they also would have barracks and stuff around the outside. This is what that place looks like today. It's fascinating to me. One of the fascinating things about the Bible is unlike much spiritual literature, there's not just hot pie-in-the-sky spiritual platitudes that you really can't test. There's things that you can test and verify. So you can go to the exact places where things happen in the Bible and say, oh my gosh, places, cities, that was actually here. You can actually go to where the Apostle Paul wrote these words while he was in prison. What was he seeing in prison? He was seeing a place that was one of the early Olympics that was happening. And he was seeing people running and training. He was seeing a wreath put on people's necks. He was seeing people box and shadow box who were about to wrestle. And so what these guys are doing right now, they're undergoing delayed gratification. They're exercising so they can get something of value later on. And this is what happens in football. We do things so later on we get something positive. Solomon Wilcox, who we've seen today, had a really good NFL career, 9 years or so at the end of his NFL career. He went and he is a sideline reporter in the NFL, and he works for NFL Network. Cool story about him is that when he got done with football, he wanted to go into broadcasting, but he had no credentials and no practical skills. He went to every news station in Cincinnati looking for one who would take him on. No one would take him on except for Channel 5. They took him on as an unpaid intern. And he worked for 3 years at this station learning how to cut film, learning how to have transitions. 3 years as an unpaid intern. He went from part of the pinnacle of his career, making a lot of money, having everybody look at him and cheer him, to being low man on the totem pole and reporting to 23-year-olds. And getting paid nothing for 3 years. And this allowed him to launch his new career. Why did he learn that? I believe he learned that because football teaches you to take pain, to take punches, to have things happen to you that would break other people's bones. And that's why I can't drink milk anymore, because my bones have been so broken all over the years.
Well done.
I think it's a little suspect.
You know, this is why being a mom is crazy delayed gratification. What do you do as a mom? You're hoping for a payoff later on, but what are you dealing with? You're dealing with 9 months of discomfort. After the discomfort, after the incredible discomfort of the birth, you're dealing with time where you're not getting much from your baby at all. Your baby's not complimenting you. Your baby's not helping you. I mean, you're waiting a long time until there's a conversation, until there's some sort of payoff. And that is of value. I'll tell you what, everything, every single thing in your life that's of value, you had to wait for. Everything that's of value in your life, you've had to work for. Every single thing. If you're having a hard time understanding what is of value in your life, you probably haven't delayed much gratification. I've got a great marriage right now, 28 years in. I'll tell you what, it wasn't great for a while. We had to delay our gratification. We had to wait. We had to wait and do our marks until we came to a place of goodness. One of the things you do in delaying gratification is you value other people. You sacrifice for the team. Football teaches you how to sacrifice for the team. You might be really fast and have great hand-eye coordination. You show up for practice the first day and the coach says, lineman. You're big, you go to the line, and you take one for the team and you go to the line. Football has awesome opportunities to get involved. There's offense, defense, punting team, punt receive team, kickoff receiving team, field goal or extra point team, field goal, extra point team, defensive team. There's 8 squads, 11 slots, 88 slots where you can plug in and value the team. And in those 88 slots, unlike any other sport, if there's one or two guys that are really hurting or sucking, forget it. You're done. And baseball, it's not necessarily like this. You can have a dominant pitcher, and all he needs is a few hits on his side, and he can shut everybody down. It's not like that in football. One guy, two guys, if they're not up to snuff, the whole team suffers for it, and you sacrifice. You sacrifice when you're running scout team as a sophomore. You're coming in, and you're just like, you're getting the tar beat out of you. You're going home every day, and you got bruises all over you, and you're getting nothing in return other than being basically a tackling dummy for the first team to get them ready for the next game so that your team can go ahead. And in the midst of that, when you delay gratification momentarily, you lose. You learn to lose. Lehu Zahir. You learn this. Now, I don't think that we should aspire to be losing. I'm just saying that every person who has a great life loses. You have to lose. Vince Lombardi said, show me a good loser, and I'll show you a loser.
Vince Lombardi, when was the last time he was relevant?
1950-something.
Got it.
It's right down Brian's lane. It's perfect.
Perfect.
In football, you lose a lot. You lose a game. You lose your starting position to somebody who's older and has just moved into the school. You have these drills called hamburger drills or Oklahoma, whatever your school might have called them, where the coach calls out two guys, it's one-on-one, and everybody, all the coaches, all the players are in a circle all the way around, and there will be a winner and a loser, and it might be that you are humiliated because you are knocked backwards, you are knocked on your back, and everybody knows you're not as good as him and you're weaker than him. You actually lose. And what that does is that forms something in you. It gets you It gets you used to not being good enough, which gives you a thirst, it gives you a fire to do something more. Jesus says this, or it says this about Jesus, rather, in Ephesians 5:2. Walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. It seems like every spirituality or every religion wants a piece of Jesus, and for good reason. I mean, we want to at least call him a prophet or a great teacher. Why? Because he's the most powerful person who ever walked the face of the earth. Period. Any historian knows this. Nobody else has had time dated after them. Nobody else has quoted as much as Jesus. Nobody else has started as much movements to positively change the world as him. Nobody. Nobody. And how did he do that? He did that by delaying his gratification. Chuck talked about some of the great stuff he got at the end of his life, right now in eternity with God, but he had 33 years of delaying gratification. 33 years of walking around with a bunch of guys trying to change the world. 33 years that got punctuated with him being punctured by going to a cross, spreading out his arms, having nails in his wrists and in his feet, and bleeding for the team, bleeding for you so that you and I wouldn't have to bleed for eternity, taking a punch, taking a hit in the mouth, so you and I wouldn't have to take a hit in the mouth from the very God himself. Jesus laid down his life. He lost his life for the team. He delayed his gratification. In the process, all of us are better for it. I want to push you right now. I want to end our time just pushing you, man. I'm telling you, I wonder, when is the last time you did something hard? When's the last time you did something difficult? When's the last time you showed up for practice uncertain of what was going to happen and you were just a little queasy about it? If you can't identify that time, I'm telling you, I want to say you probably are not spiritually growing right now, and I've never met anybody who doesn't want to spiritually grow. I'm telling you, next week you show up, we're going to push you. You're going to be able to delay and have some gratification that's profound of finding out who you really are, who God is making you to be, who God really is. And you're going to have the opportunity to go to a whole new level in your life, but you're going to have to lose. You're going to have to lose things out of your schedule. You're going to have to sacrifice things out of your schedule. You're going to have to get into a team with people, and I want that for you. I'll tell you what, if you're part of Crossroads and if you're just coming to Crossroads right now, I just want to talk to you as your coach. We'll talk to you. We need all of us being the best version of ourselves possible. For God to do in and through us what he's doing, you have to be on your game and you have to be pushed from time to time. You've got to train yourself from time to time. You've got to be up for somebody speaking into your life. And that's why I'm saying the world needs us to show up next week at the I Am Journey, getting ready to get stuff done. Let me pray for you right now. God, I pray that you would take these words and you would take the life of Jesus and you would infuse it into us. You would help us get over the broken places in our life and see that these are places you are forming us. And you would get ready to create in all of us the greatest version of ourselves that you've always desired and destined us to be. And I pray these things according to the name and identity of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Very, very, very strong showing by Tome.
Yes, I agree.
He gave us Vince Lombardi, gave us heavy scripture, showed us pictures that happened before the Great Depression.
Yes.
All of that in one message.
Yes.
Holly, where are we on the scores?
He got 10 points for accurate use of the Bible, 10 points for his phrase, although it was suspect, 10 points for keeping in with the time limit, and some sympathy points for being old, 5 points. Brian Tome, 35. Chunk Mingo, 30.
All right. So that means the winner of the Super Bowl of preaching.
Good
Brian
job.
Tome. Brian, congratulations. You get a whole supply of Know-It-Alls.
Oh, my goodness.
What happened to your pants?
I would like a no supply of those shorts. That is really disturbing.
These old things, stop. I'm blushing. Stop.
Jeez.
These are great. Congratulations. You guys, any last words?
Yeah, but what, bring on home.
One, you know what you talked about, team? The best thing you can do next week is make sure you're getting into a small group. We'll help you do that, but if you go to crossroads.net/groups, wherever you are, you'll find groups in your area at times that work for you for the I Am Journey. Let's all be in a group and go to a next place together. Yeah.
Great. So we'll see you next week. All right. Have an amazing weekend, a great Super Bowl.
Guys, it was great to be together this weekend, and next weekend is going to be awesome. It's the start of the I Am journey, and so I want all of us to come back here next weekend to kick off the journey together. If you're not in a group yet, that's the best way to get the most out of the journey. So go to crossroads.net/groups to get started today. And even if this weekend was your very first weekend, I would love for you to do the journey together with us and invite anybody you know to do it along with you. You don't have to have any Crossroads experience to have an incredible journey experience. See you next week.